cult movies is what we're going to get into. And, you know, Vic and I saw each other in the hallway during one of the breaks here. And he mentioned one, and it's not on this list, oddly enough, but Vic's choice is Raising Arizona, which is a great movie, a great movie. And I know people who hate that movie, but I don't associate with people who hate that movie. So, because I don't understand, I don't know what world you live in if you hate that movie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Esmeralda, you've seen Raising Arizona?
Yes.
And?
It's good.
Uh-oh.
I don't hate it. I don't love it.
It's hilarious. Dan, you've seen Raising Arizona, right?
You know, I've never seen the entire thing all the way through.
Oh, no. Oh, that must be rectified. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So that was Vic's choice for a cult movie. If you guys have your favorite cult movies, 312-981-7200. There's a lot of fun ones on this list. So we're going to be talking about cult films. 312-981-7200. Wild Card Wednesday continues. 815 area code requests Alkaline Trio. Local guys, Goodbye Forever. My buddy Matt Allison produced some Alkaline Trio records. He's a great producer, Matt Allison. Very, very talented guy. And he produced, he produced their first three or four CDs. And that's Alkaline Trio. On Wild Card Wednesday, where wild cards are wild. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WD. We're talking cult movies. You guys have favorite cult movies, weird little movies, cult movies. 312-981-7200. So Vic said the first one that popped into his head was Raising Arizona. Dan, do you have when we talk cult movies, is there one that pops into your head?
I will steal one from the list, but the answer is usually Donnie Darko.
Yeah. Donnie Darko. What a great movie.
Fascinating.
Have you seen the director's cut?
I have not seen the director's cut.
This is one of those cases where I so much prefer the cut that was released. There was just too much stuff explained and... It was really less sort of beautiful and ambiguous than the theatrical cut. And I love Richard Kelly. Richard Kelly makes nothing but cult movies. Do you know what I mean? He's made three movies and they're all cult movies, like major cult movies. I remember when Donnie Darko came out, they were advertising it for some reason. They took out a lot of time. They bought a lot of time on WWE Raw. I'm not kidding, man. I'm not kidding. For like 3 weeks, you know, because this was at a time when I would have all my buddies over on Monday nights to watch Raw. There'd be like eight of us watching Raw on Monday night. And my girlfriend at the time, this girl, Helena, she was the artistic director of this children's theater company called Barrel of Monkeys. And they would do a show on Monday nights at the Neo Futurarium, which I still think they're doing, called That's Weird Grandma. This was like 16 years ago, and I still think they're doing the show, That's Weird Grandma, on Monday nights at the Neo Futurarium. And so she would go to that. I would have my friends over to watch wrestling, and then we would all meet her cast and friends and stuff. We would all meet at Simon's afterwards. That was our Monday night thing. And I remember specifically, like every commercial break, we would see a commercial for this thing. For some reason, for the WWE, they bought a lot of, they thought, I guess wrestling fans would like Donnie Darko, they thought. And so we'd see the commercials for it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And it was being advertised as a horror movie, you know? But like, I thought it was about like a dude who dressed up like a rabbit and killed people. That's what I thought the movie was about, based upon the commercials. And so I kept being intrigued by it, and all my wrestling buddy friends were like, yeah, looks cool. Guy's in a rabbit costume's going to cut some heads off. It's going to be awesome. And I'm like, yeah. And then I go see it, and I'm like, oh, no, this is a much more interesting movie than I thought it was going to be. It's not about a guy who dresses up like a rabbit and kills people. Now, there is a dude in a bunny suit in it. That's Frank. He's the king, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, I adore that movie. I think Donnie Darko is great. Esmeralda, you like Donnie Darko?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah? Not your thing?
It's a little too thinky.
Thinky? What is... What?
It's a little too, like, you gotta really, really think about that movie.
Well, it's, I don't know if you have to think that much about it.
Well, I mean, I discovered it in college when it came out on DVD and VHS. And
yeah.
I could totally understand where Esmeralda's coming from, because it was our, like, you know, we were all taking philosophy and questioning
what does that bunny mean and the whole
No, there's a lot of stuff going on in that movie, but the thing is, it's open to any kind of interpretation as far as I'm concerned. You know, people have different thoughts on what it's about. And there have actually been essays and books written about it, about the movie. And Richard Kelly remains kind of ambiguous about it, although he tried to explain it in the director's cut. In the director's cut, it's, there are a lot more, it's a lot wordier and a lot more explanations, which I don't like. But I think he topped Donnie Darko with Insanity with Southland Tales. Southland Tales is a completely certifiable movie. And if you had a hard time watching Donnie Darko, if people had a hard time watching Donnie Darko, they'd last 15 minutes watching Southland Tales. And Southland Tales is 2.5 hours long. I mean, it's a completely insane movie. First time I saw Southland Tales, Southland Tales is one of those movies that I did a complete 180 on. The first time I saw Southland Tales, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I thought it was horrible. And then one night on cable, it's like 2:30 in the morning, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I loved Donnie Darko so much, I got to give this one a second chance. And I watched it that night. I don't know I think I had a couple of cocktails in me. I watched it, and I loved it. And I now adore Southland Tales to the point where I like it more than Donnie Darko. And it's a completely insane movie. And Justin Timberlake's in it, and he rules in it. Now, has either of you guys even tried Southland Tales? Because, I mean, that movie got, that thing completely got demolished by critics. It made no money, and they almost ran his ass out of town after he made that movie. Dan, did you see it?
I have not. I know it ran on cable once, and they have that on my system. They have the option of, show more showtime so you can see it, recorded if, you're 45 minutes in, and mm-hmm. that was the one and only show.
The one and only show. Yeah, it doesn't get a lot of play. I've got the DVD at home, the deluxe DVD with all the extras, and there's a huge, crazy backstory history to that movie, and short films that Richard Kelly made to pad out the universe. It's such a crazy. I adore that movie simply because it's so insane. It is an absolutely insane movie. Esmeralda, have you seen Southland Tales?
I have not seen it.
It's unbelievably crazy. And I adore it. You should give it a try. You should ask V if he's seen it. I bet V's seen it.
Oh, I'm sure he has, yeah.
I bet he's seen it. And I'd be interested to see what he thinks of it. Because he's a pretty adventurous guy when it comes to movies, and he's seen a lot of stuff. Southland Tales is way out there. And then the other movie that Richard Kelly made, it was his attempt to make an accessible thriller. And he ended up making a Richard Kelly movie. Everybody thought it was because Cameron Diaz was in it. James Marsden was in it. It was called The Box. And it is this really crazy sci-fi movie where you get $1 million... If you press the button, this mysterious dude with half a face, played by Frank Langella, comes to your house, he says, because you're in like financial straits, you're in very, very, everything is desperate in your life, and this is the same. This is what happens with Cameron Diaz and James Marsden. They play a married couple, and he shows up at their house, mysterious dude, half a face, says, if you press this button, this box, if you press the button in this box. You will receive $1 million, but someone in the world will die. Someone in the world will die if you press this button. And so they press the button. And it goes crazy from there. And for about 20 minutes, it's kind of a normal movie. It's kind of like, oh, okay, Richard Kelly's playing the game. He's not going to make a crazy movie that nobody is going to love or understand, only weirdos. The studio hired him to make like a Twilight Zone-y kind of thriller, and that's what he's doing. Okay, good for him. And then about a half an hour into the movie, it goes off the rails. It just goes completely insane. It goes off the rails to the point where there were people walking out of the screening that I was at. People were like, all right, that's it. I'm done. They expected like a Twilight Zone thriller Cameron Diaz movie. What they got was a Richard Kelly movie. And his three movies, he's the only director that I can say with all of his work, he's only done three movies, they are all cult movies. That and he's never worked again. And I want to say the box. Dan, could you look up the year? Because I want to say that it was. I want to say it was at least 10 years ago that movie came out. It was 2005, 2006, and I. And so
2009.
Okay, it was 2009. So, if you want to look up cult movie Donnie Darko, which is probably his most sane movie. Then Southland Tales, and then The Box. The true definition of a cult movie maker is Richard Kelly. And I love him. And I love his movies. Esmeralda, if you watch Southland Tales, you have to tell me what you think.
Okay.
I mean, I have it. I could bring it in for you. I'll bring it in for you. It's very long. It's like 2.5 hours long, and you might not make it through, but that's fine. And I, you know,
so much time.
It is a lot. It is totally. But man, I just and you would. I'll run down the cast when we come back after the news, Esmeralda. I will run down the cast list for you of this movie, because the cast is insane. Like the people, the people that are in this movie, the combination of people that are in this film. Look it up, Esmeralda. Look it up. Go to IMDb. Look up Southland Tales, and just look at the cast. You will absolutely lose your mind. So, all right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up and then more cult movies that we're going to talk about right here on WGN. Can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday continues. See, now this is MTV. This is classic MTV. That's Don, who requested Drive by the Cars on Wild Card Wednesday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Like us on Facebook. We're going to hit 12,000 fans real soon, so do that. Like us now, facebook.com/NickDShow. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. And we're talking about cult movies. So, Esmeralda, did you look up the cast of Southland Tales?
I did. It's kind of ridiculous.
It's insane. It's Dwayne Johnson, who is The Rock.
Oh, and it's music by Moby.
Yeah, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of insane music in it. In fact, there's one sequence in the movie. Justin Timberlake is in it. He plays Private Pilot Abilene, who's got a scar across his face. He narrates the movie. And he actually does a scene in the movie where he there's a musical number where he basically performs, he lip syncs the Killer song, All These Things I've Done by the Killers. And it's an extraordinarily eerie and really like hypnotizing sequence. Mm-hmm. And it's him just the camera following him and some dancers through what is essentially like a skee ball room, like a game room.
Eli Roth is in it.
Yes, Eli Roth is in it.
Uncredited.
Sean William Scott, that would be Stifler. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Mandy Moore, Justin Timberlake, Miranda Richardson, Wallace Shawn, Bai Ling, Nora Dunn, John Larroquette, Kevin Smith, Sherry O'Terry, John Lovitz, Amy Poehler, Curtis Armstrong, Booger from the Revenge of the Nerds movies, Christopher Lambert, your one and only Highlander, is in it. Zelda Rubinstein, who is the short lady from Poltergeist, she's in it. And Will Sasso is in it. And so right there, the cast alone should tell you just how certifiably crazy Southland Tales is. And again, first time I saw it, I absolutely hated it. I hated it, but I've done a 180 on it. yeah. So Esmeralda, did you have a favorite cult movie?
All I can think of is Barbarella.
Ah, yes. Now, oddly, not on this list.
I love that movie.
I don't. But I will say this. I think the movie's awful, but I will say this. I love the look of it. I love the photography. Ah, I love the way it looks. I love the sets, and I love the costumes.
Those outfits.
Fantastic. Fantastic. The sets, the costume, production design of that movie are so insanely dated, too. Like, oh, wait, this movie was clearly made in the late 60s, but it's a terrible movie. But, like, it's beautiful to look at. Like, it's one of those movies that if you're, like, in a bar, you know, and the volume is on the TV is turned down, you could watch it.
Yeah. Gonna... No, and Jane Fonda is a babe.
Oh, my God, man. Please.
Just such big hair.
Jane Fonda, there was a time, Jane Fonda was hot for, she's still a beautiful woman, but man, there was a period of time where Jane Fonda was like insanely hot for like 30 years straight. Like into the 80s, into like the late 80s, early 90s. And we're talking about a woman who started making movies in the 60s. And oh, listen, man, Jane Fonda in the 70s, don't even talk to me. That woman was unbelievably on. She was on fire in the 70s. China Syndrome? Good God. Jay in Ohio says, Freaks is my favorite cult film of all time. Ah. That's a terrific movie. Very, very creepy movie. Can't believe that movie was made when it was made.
Is that the old timey one?
Yeah, 1937.
One of Us.
Yeah.
One of Us.
One of Us. One of Us. The great Todd Browning directed that movie.
Is it really bad every time I think of that? I think of this god-awful movie that for some reason I've seen more than once with, which one is not Keanu in Bill and Ted?
Alex Winter.
Yes, Alex Winter.
The Dark Backward?
No, it's where he's not Dennis Quaid, but the crazy one.
Randy Quaid?
Yes, Randy Quaid, and he owns a freak show. And he like throws
chemicals on. Yeah.
It was an awful movie.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. But he was in. Why am I thinking of the Dark Back? You ever see The Dark Backward? Boy, you want to talk about a cult movie? The Dark Backward. Judd Nelson. Bender, from Breakfast Club. Judd Nelson, right? Am I nuts? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know why I was thinking. Some reason Judd Surratt came into my head. It was like, no, he didn't play Bender. Judd Nelson plays in this movie, The Dark Backward, with him and Bill Paxton. Judd Nelson plays a stand-up comedian, a bad stand-up comedian who has a third arm growing out of his back. Mm-hmm. And Bill Paxton plays his sleazy agent. The Dark Backward. I don't know why I'm associating Alex Winter with that movie. I think he may have directed it. The Dark, but no, he didn't direct it. But he may have had something to do with it.
Because he was in that movie.
Oh, he's in.
Telling you about that's awful.
Well, I can't remember the name of the movie that was though. But it was Randy Quaid. I remember the movie.
Freaked.
Freaked. Yeah, Freaked. That's why. That's why you think of it because it's called Freaked. Jay in Ohio also says I feel that 10 Cloverfield Lane will be a cult film. You know, I mean, it's actually a pretty successful movie right now. I mean, it's made. It only cost like $15 million to make, and it's almost up to $50 million. So I don't think that's a cult movie. That movie has crossed over. My parents like that movie. It's not a cult movie if my parents like it. My dad has gone nuts. By the way, Dan, have I told you that my dad's gone nuts over this movie? Over 10 Cloverfield Lane.
No.
To the point where every single person that approaches him at Jewel gets to hear a 20-minute dissertation on how great 10 Cloverfield Lane is.
The last time he did that over a movie, I believe it was Whiplash.
It was Whiplash. My dad went nuts over Whiplash, too. But you know what? My dad's favorite still that he loved of recent times is that, God, the damn movie with Hugh Jackman fighting robots when the robots box. Real Steel. That my dad went nuts over that movie. I bought it for him for Christmas. As I hear, it's Real Steel. My dad went nuts over Real Steel.
Is he the only person who went nuts over
that movie? He is. Yes, absolutely. He went nuts. Went crazy over Real Steel. Brian says here we go. I had to know this was going to happen. The ultimate cult classic for me is, of course, 1985's Gymkhana. From the magically chalked up hands, the antagonist Thorg, the town of the crazies, and the truly amazing score, Gymkhana fully renders me chipper. That's Brian. He mentions Gymkhana if we were talking about, you know, documentaries about World War II, he would mention Gymkhana, and he'd fit it in somehow. 773 area code says Evil Dead. Evil Dead 2 is on this list. But I would say that all three of the Evil Dead movies would fall into the cult category. David says, is Vanishing Point a cult film? Yes, it is, without question. It's one of my favorites. I do this route, Denver to San Francisco, once a year, going the speed limit, David says. Brian says, Slapshot, greatest cult movie ever. You know, that's another one that would actually was a very big success when it came out. It's got a big cult following. But cult movies, I think, are the kind of movies that don't have a huge success when they come out, that end up having, just by nature of the category, they get a cult status. Like a movie comes out, doesn't do well, nobody likes it, and then suddenly we're talking about it 20-some years later because it's got a huge cult following. And Slapshot really doesn't fall into that category. It's a great movie. I've seen it 7,000 times. Jim has a good one, Strange Brew with Bob and Doug McKenzie. That is a great cult movie. A great cult movie. For those people, you guys are too young, Dan and Esmeralda, you're too young to have been around to witness the genius and the height of creativity of SCTV.
Brilliance.
Unbelievable, won't you think, Vic? I mean, really.
Brilliant. You guys have to watch that.
Yeah, the SCTV was one of the greatest shows ever. The cast was incredible. And Bob and Doug McKenzie movie, you've obviously, Vic, you've seen Strange Brew.
Beauty, eh?
Your beauty, eh? my favorite line is, geez, somebody horked her clothes.
There's so many.
It's the best.
Quotable lines.
Here's the other thing.
Movie.
The other thing is that it's Hamlet. It's an adaptation of Hamlet.
Is it really?
It's a great film. Max von Sydow is in it, for God's sake. It is a great movie. And then 773 picks a great one, Drugstore Cowboy. With Matt Dillon, one of Matt Dillon's best performances ever. Tremendous movie. Tremendous. Drugstore Cowboy. First time I remember seeing Heather Graham is in that movie, if I remember correctly. No, the first time Heather Graham was in a movie was in that damn movie where the Corys steal a car. What the hell was the name of that where the Corys are driving around? License to Drive. That's the first time I remember seeing Heather Graham. But it might have been the same year that Drugstore Cowboy came out, because she's great in Drugstore Cowboy, although she spends most of the movie as a corpse, but she's great in it. Drugstore Cowboy, if you've not seen Drugstore Cowboy, write that one down. Great cult movie. Tremendous movie. Gus Van Sant directed it. I think best performance of Matt Dillon's career, although Matt Dillon's been good in a lot of stuff. So... okay, we got to take a break. We'll talk more cult movies here. There are so many on this list that we have to just at least mention, especially Zardoz, which I believe we'll lead with when we come back.
Well, I didn't go to work, told the boss I was sick.
Now you can't use a car because you didn't work a lick.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm going to do, because there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Wow. Who the hell is it? Oh, Donna requests Alan Jackson doing Summertime Blues. I didn't know that there was a version that sounded like this. A country version of Summertime Blues on Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, Wildcard Wednesday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And 312-981-7200, talk and text, 312-981-7200. Like us on Facebook. We're going to hit 12,000 fans, and we need you to like us right now. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. We're talking cult movies, crazy movies that weren't popular when they came out, that really got slammed, and then they became popular because of a very passionate fan base. We call them cult movies. And here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, you had to bring up SCTV.
Yeah.
You got to watch the Halfwits skit. It's funny as hell.
Yeah, they've did Halfwits more than once. Halfwits was a pretty regular thing, and it's absolutely genius. It is, that show was unbelievable. Unbelievably funny.
Yes, it was. Hey, I know Mallrats is probably on your list, but I got an old 60s cult movie, a Russ Meyer flick. The Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Yeah, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill is not. There are no Russ. For some reason, unbelievably, there are no Russ Meyer movies on this list, which I can't believe.
I've never laughed so hard at the violence, Nick.
Well, it's a great movie. And you know what, Mike? You should see the new Pee Wee Herman movie. You should see Pee Wee's Big Holiday on Netflix, because there is a section in the movie that is an absolute tribute and homage to Faster Pussycat.
Wow, great.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, another cult classic, which I believe John Landis played the monster.
Schlock? Yeah, Schlock is a great movie. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Another one you never laugh so hard at the violence.
Absolutely. Okay, Mike, thanks.
Hey, have a good
Take
day,
Nick. Yeah, you know that section, Esmeralda, where the three well-endowed chicks rob banks and then Pee-wee ends up with them?
Yes.
That's taken directly from Faster Pussycat.
Yeah, I thought so, with the specifically the woman in black.
Yeah.
Is she anybody?
Not really.
Okay.
Because
for a second I thought she was Mayim Bialik.
No, it's not. No. No. What? Really?
I don't know why. I was like, is that Blossom?
Wow. All right. Okay, so we have to discuss Zardoz real quick, don't you think, Esmeralda? Now, you've not seen it.
I haven't, but I've seen pictures.
You've seen pictures of what Sean Connery looks like in this movie. I don't know how to describe Zardoz. Came out in the 70s, so that explains a lot. Here's what they say about it on this list. And by the way, if you want to see this list with explanation, and you can really dig into it, you can check it out. It's on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/NickDShow. This is a movie set in the post-apocalyptic year 2293 that features Sean Connery with a ponytail, wearing some kind of red leather knee-high boots suspenders thing, and with a fake god. The only way a person could properly appreciate this movie is with cult status and a handful of LSD. But it's absolutely something you have to experience at least once. When Zardoz came out in the 70s, I remember my dad took me to see it. We saw it at the McClure Court Theater downtown. So my dad takes me to see it. And I don't know. I must have been 10 when that movie came out. Maybe 75, maybe earlier than that, 75, 74. So, and my dad, we were both like, what the hell is going on? And, like, there's a floating god's stone head, and it's just John Borman directed it. John Borman is a remarkably talented director who does very interesting and often great work. But I don't know what the hell was going on with Zardoz. I've seen it, like, 5 or 6 times. And just alone, and Esmeralda, you can vouch for this, people should just see it alone for the way Sean Connery is costumed in it. I mean, it's really unbelievable.
Right. He's wearing, as I've heard it described, a red diaper.
Yeah.
Like a red diaper codpiece
situation. It's really kind of unbelievable. So for that alone, and then the movie just is like, it's completely insane. Now, they do show that one at midnight. Every once in a while it pops up at the Music Box or at the Century. 29 on this list is Tremors, which is a terrific movie. Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, a bunch of worms. Reba McEntire with shotguns blowing stuff away, blowing evil worms away. And the dude, what the hell is the dude's name from, is it Growing Pains or Family Ties? Which one is the one with Michael J. Fox? Family Ties, right?
Yes.
Okay. Who's the father? Michael Gross? Michael Gross. He's in it. He plays like a hillbilly with like 8 million guns. He's like a dude with a fallout shelter, you know, a bunker, and like he and his wife is played by Reba McEntire, and they're hilarious in the movie, and they've got like 8 million guns, and it's all about these giant worms that are killing people that are under the sand.
See, but now it's like, well, who's laughing now? I got 8,000 guns to shoot all these worms.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really terrific movie, and they ended up making like 5 of them.
Isn't Leonardo DiCaprio in the first one?
No,
like he's got a thing. I thought he had like a cameo or something. That's like a.
I don't think so. Leonardo DiCaprio. That movie came out in 1990. Leonardo DiCaprio would have been 9.
Yeah, like it's a very.
Oh, so like maybe he's got like a small role,
right?
As a kid. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
That's what I've heard. Rumor has it.
Okay. The Warriors is number 28 on this movie, one of my favorite movies of all time. But the thing is, I don't even know if that one, I know it's got a big cult following, but that thing was a huge success when it came out. That movie came out at the beginning of 1979, and it was a monster hit. I remember my mom freaking out because my dad and I were going to go see it because there was gang violence at theaters across the country when the movie came out.
Really? Were they wearing those outfits?
No, they weren't wearing those. Well, no, you know what? I mean, a lot of the outfits in the movie are highly stylized. The whole movie is highly stylized and not very realistic. But there were a lot of crazy, you know, I mean, there weren't like mimes and stuff, you know, in gangs. But there were a lot of guys who wore vests and things like that.
No, I want a mime gang.
Yeah, well, there's a mime gang in the Warriors.
I want a real one.
Yep. So, but I remember my mom freaking out because we were going to go see the movie. And, of course, I've seen The Warriors like 8 million times. I know every line of dialogue to that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But that was a big hit when it came out. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll do more cult movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's true. Wild Card Wednesday continues here. Oh, man. That's Lois Lane. That's the name of the band, Dan? 773 area code, Lois Lane, and it only takes a minute. Do you know anything about this band?
According to the YouTube description, they are a Chicago-based rock band, and they appeared on Chicago Rocks Volume 1, released by WLUP, The Loop.
Yeah, man, The Loop! Wow. Right, now, do we know what year that was?
The video's from 2012, so...
Oh, really?
I don't know. Wow. But other people said the album is from 1980. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like it. That sounded totally from the 80s. Yeah, man, it only takes a minute. You think Jimmy knows who these guys are? Should we call DeCastro up? You think, Dan?
Yes.
Yo, Jimmy, do you know Lois Lane? Because they were on The Loop, man. All right.
There is no Wikipedia entry for Lois
No,
Lane.
No! So. There's no Wikipedia entry for Lois Lane! I feel very bad for Lois Lane now. Was that a video, Dan, or was it just...
I was a still.
It was a still with the song playing, yeah. Because if you don't make a video, they just, you know, put it up on YouTube like that way. All right. Okay. They were on you can hear them on The Loop. Oh, excuse me.
Man, that really took out of you.
What the hell, man? What happened?
Lois Lane.
Lois That's Lane, man. Yeah, Lois Lane. It only takes a minute.
To clear your throat.
It just, that sounded like a song that you would hear at The Whale.
I mean, I was just like he's going to love this because it sounds like enough's enough.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's totally something that you would hear at The Whale. Yeah. All right, more cult movies here. Let's fly through some of these on the list. Tales from the Hood. Tales from the Hood. That was a good little crazy little horror movie from the mid-90s. From the mid-90s, and it was one of those anthology horror movies. And if I remember correctly, the Crypt Keeper, like the dude who was the through line, you know how in the Tales from the Crypt, you have like the Crypt Keeper dude is the guy who's your host? If I remember correctly, it was Clarence Williams III was like, I am Clarence Williams III. Clarence Williams III was in Mod Squad for people who were too young, like Dan and Esmeralda, to remember who Clarence Williams III was. Do you have any? Have you ever seen anything about Mod Squad?
Yeah.
Not the stupid movie that they did in the '90s with Claire Danes.
They show it every once in a great while.
Because it's pretty fantastic.
On TV.
It's fantastic. I grew up watching that show when I was a kid. Mod Squad.
He's the...
He was Link on Mod Squad.
Yeah, and he's also... I can't remember the name of his character, but he was the drug dealer in Half-Baked.
Yes, he was. He was also Prince's dad in Purple Rain.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite dudes.
Wait, hold on a second. Mary Vandeville, one of your favorite dudes
Clarence
was Link?
William. Yes, Link I loved
was,
him.
Link was all, I was a Michael Cole guy.
Well, I liked him, too, because he was cute. Yeah. But Clarence, he was just so suave and cool. And Peggy Lipton, it was like, could you smile once in your life?
Peggy Lipton, by the way, you know who Peggy Lipton is? Esmeralda, she's the mother of someone very famous.
Yeah. Oh, starts with an R.
Rashida Jones.
There you go.
Jones, yes.
Because she's married to Quincy Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. Mod
Sorry,
Squad.
I had to chime
no,
in.
I understand, Mary. You and I are around the same age.
I know.
So
when you said
like
the Mod Squad, I'm like
Mod Squad. Oh my God, Mod Squad. So, all right. Tony says Bugsy Malone is a great cult movie. Bugsy Malone, starring Chachi.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who made some news this week?
Right.
What an idiot.
No, that movie is adorable, and they shoot.
Oh, it's
each
terrific.
Other
Jodie
with
Foster, ice cream. They shoot each other with ice cream guns and stuff?
No, it's not ice cream. It's cream pie. So, like, banana cream pies.
I think there's also an ice cream gun in it.
Is really? That seems like, painful because it would be cold.
Yeah. Alan Parker directed that movie, which is really amazing.
It's so cute. And when they sing.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a terrific
adult
movie.
Adult voices. It's
Jodie Foster. Awesome in that movie. Jason Indiana says, do Real Men or Sour Grapes count as cult movies? They would in my world. Well, not Real Men. Real Men was ridiculous. Do you guys know what Sour Grapes is?
No.
Sour Grapes is the screenplay and directorial debut of Larry David.
Oh.
And it was released at the height of popularity. He left. It was when he left that season, the second to last season, Larry David left Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And he left to make this movie, Sour Grapes. And it's got Craig Bierko in it, and one of the guys from Wings. Dan, you got to help me out because those two guys are interchangeable. One of the guys from Wings was in Diner. I know that much. And the other guy it's either Steven Weber or Tim Daly. And I get those guys.
Weber.
It's Steven Weber's in Sour Grapes, right? Okay. Well, Dan, do they have a plot synopsis? Can you read the plot synopsis of Sour Grapes?
Two cousins and friends, Richie and Evan, go to Atlantic City to gamble. Richie loses all that he has at the slot machines and asks Evan for two more coins for a last attempt. That last attempt brings a $400,000 jackpot for Richie. No wonder Evan turns greedy and jealous.
Okay.
Oh, I think I haven't seen it, but it sounds very familiar.
It is as dark. When I saw it, I wasn't watching Seinfeld. Because I didn't start watching Seinfeld till like 1999 or 2000 after it went into syndication. So in the 90s, I never watched an episode of Seinfeld. So when I saw the movie, I was only aware of Larry David, and this is ridiculous, but I was only really aware of Larry David through this show called Fridays that he did in the late 70s, which was a total ripoff of Saturday Night Live. He was a cast member and a writer on this show called Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Michael Richards was on that show as well. And so that's the only way I knew Larry David. And I knew he was one of the guys, I knew he was the creator of Seinfeld. I just didn't watch it. And I couldn't believe how twisted this movie was because it gets to the point where Craig Bierko wins the money and he won't give his cousin like half the money because he thinks he deserves half the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes so far where Steven Weber's character is a doctor. And actually goes so far as to tell Craig Bierko he has cancer. He lies to him. And that he has testicular cancer.
So you have cancer. You should give me half the
money. No. He does it as revenge. He lies to him as revenge because he's not going to get the money. He gives him a little money. That's how far this movie goes. And that's why it's called Sour Grapes, because he tells him that he has testicular cancer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See,
it works
Craig
on two
Bierko.
Levels. There are sour grapes,
and then
it works on another level.
Yeah.
And Bierko's great in it. Craig Bianco's great in it.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very, very twisted movie. And I'm not surprised. It made like a dime. Like I remember watching it going, I can't believe. You know, I remember, honest to God, Dan, this was my reaction. After I saw Sour Grapes, I was like, maybe I should be watching Seinfeld. I'm not kidding. And maybe I started watching Seinfeld after that. No, I didn't, because I didn't start watching until syndication. So, but anyway. What else we got here? Listen, number one on the list is, of course, Rocky Horror, which is, of course, the biggest cult movie ever made. And Donnie Darko, Eraserhead is on the list, which is my favorite David Lynch movie of all time. Have you seen Eraserhead?
I haven't.
It's insane. Insane. Big Trouble in Little China is one of three John Carpenter movies on this list because John Carpenter makes movies that people don't like until 30 years later. And then everybody who loves John Carpenter movies goes, where the hell were you when it first came out? Big Trouble in Little China tanked in 1986. One of the biggest bombs in the history of 20th Century Fox at that point. And now, oh, it's the best. Well, really? It's great.
I don't get the whole ending.
What ending?
It just seems too quick.
What do you mean?
When he throws
the knife.
Right.
It's hilarious. That's why it's funny.
It just seems like, what, that's it?
It's all in the reflexes.
How you kill him?
It's all in the reflexes. It's fantastic.
Just expecting a bigger death scene.
It's a great movie. They Live is also on here, and that's another John Carpenter movie. And then Dark Star is another. There's three John Carpenter movies on this list. Maybe you should like John Carpenter movies when they come out. Well, he doesn't make them anymore. So now he's just sitting back collecting paychecks now from, you know, residuals because people now suddenly like his movies.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought I was a weirdo when he met me.
Oh, why would he think
that? I'm not weird. I'm only going to Detroit to see him. And
that's
then the next night I've got VIP tour package to be backstage when he's in town at Thalia Hall. I'm not weird or anything.
Nope.
I brought, if I remember correctly, I brought 24 things for him to sign.
Oh, my God.
At the Flashback convention.
What's wrong with you?
And I got like three pictures with him. And I was like, hi, John Carpenter. Ah.
Do you immediately get a restraining order on you? Just to make sure.
Just to make sure. Well, I'm only going to Detroit. That's all. In July. I'm only going because I didn't think he was coming to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they announced the Chicago date, so now I'm going two nights in a row. I'll be in Detroit one night and then Chicago the next. And if he sees me in Detroit, I'm sure he's going to freak out because I'm going, I'll be seeing you tomorrow too, John.
Right, and you're going to wave at him.
Yeah. And I already said that I'm going to flip tables if he doesn't play anything from The Fog because he's playing his music from his movies and stuff.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't play anything from I'm going to warn him in Detroit. You don't play anything
from The Fog.
That's
exactly what he wants to hear.
Yeah. You better play The Fog tomorrow in Chicago, because I got VIP backstage passes.
Exactly. He wants to be threatened. He'll love it.
See, with fans like me, he's probably glad nobody liked his movies 30 years ago. So, all right, we got a break here. Let's find out what's going to happen on the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Hey, Steve.
Good morning. You kind of felt that was going to happen, right?
Oh, man. Not good.
Mm-hmm. So I heard you talking about cult films earlier.
Yeah, I see that you have one. Dan reminded me that you have one.
Yeah, Silver Bullet.
Silver Bullet.
And I hear you're friends with Gary Busey.
I'm not. I was.
You kind of know him.
I wouldn't say friends, but I ended up, and this is a true story, ended up hanging out with Gary Busey for an entire week back in 1992. 7 nights straight. I'm not kidding.
And you haven't written a book yet?
Let me just, you know, whatever you think, Steve, whatever you think it is to hang out with Gary Busey and go to like bars and nightclubs and do other things, multiply that by 8 million on the weirdness scale.
Oh, my God.
And you're kind of in the ballpark.
I kind of figured something like that would be the case.
But Silver Bullet is, I love Silver Bullet.
It scared the heck out of me. And it's still to this day when I want to be scared, like around Halloween, I watch that movie.
It's a fun movie. It's a fun movie.
We've got a lot coming up on the opening bell. It's all coming up on the opening bell.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. We can wrap this up, Esmeralda, with some of the other ones that people have. The Hitcher, of course, would be the original with Rutger Hauer. Remake was just indefensible.
Rutger Hauer always seems to be an angry man
well,
in all the movies.
He, Yeah, I mean, he plays weirdos or bad guys or villains because he's got that look. But, you know, but between, you know, I mean, Blade Runner as Roy Batty, one of the greatest characters in the history of cinema, in my opinion. But that Hitcher, Nighthawks, phenomenal. Toxic Avenger from the 630 area code, ridiculous movie. 708 area code, Frequency. So many people haven't heard of it. Frequency is a weird movie. Jim Caviezel and Dennis Quaid find each other on a ham radio. Dennis Quaid is his dad, and they speak to each other. They're about the same age. Like, his dad's in the 60s, and he's, like, in the present time. And then they speak to each other to solve a murder through a ham radio that is time traveling.
It's the only way you can do it.
I don't know what to say. Here, well, you'll like this. 219 area code says, Time Rider, co-written and produced by Michael Nesmith.
Oh.
See, now suddenly you're interested. Fred Ward is in that movie, the great Fred Ward. 847 area code, Nick, how about 12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt? Great movie, Terry Gilliam. A lot of Terry Gilliam's movies are cult movies. Brazil, Time Bandits, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that I want to, Repo Man is one of my favorites with Emilio Estevez. And Harry Dean Stanton, who, in my opinion, is a national treasure. Harry Dean Stanton. He is. He's a national treasure. And he's phenomenal in Repo Man. And then the other one I want to mention really quickly that we talked a little bit about off the air is Altered States.
Right, yes.
One of William Hurt's first movies, written by Paddy Chayefsky, who eventually took his name off the...
He looks like a puddle of silly putty.
It is an incredibly weird movie and a great one. So anyway, the full list is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. I will see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a break. News is next.